It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, April 6th. I'm Patricia Naft. Lake City is sending out statewide mandated notices about the drinking water. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Residents of Lake City will be getting notices with their water bills, notifying them that their town's water treatment is in violation of state-mandated requirements. Leslie Klusmeyer, the town manager, says the water hasn't changed, and it's how the state looks at their system that's different.
So our water wells used to be groundwater wells, and they've been reclassified as groundwater under the influence of surface water. So we have been working with the state all this time. We're actually doing a bank filtration study to prove that bank filtration actually works for our wells. And we're doing some other things like repairing an extensive amount of leaks so that we can get our pumping rates down, which may be one of the causes that we had one bad test.
If this sounds familiar, it's because the town of Paonia is more or less going through the same thing. Both towns were reclassified and found themselves facing new requirements. Paonia has received grants and is in the process of planning and implementing changes to their drinking water system. Lake City right now has bank filtration, which means that the natural geography and dirt filters the water. They're in the middle of a year-and-a-half program to test and prove to the state that it's sufficient in cleaning the water.
If we can prove that, then our bank filtration will be enough, and we're also going to be installing a disinfection and contact chamber for our water system. If not, then we would have to look at some kind of mechanical treatment, which we're hoping not to go there.
Klusmeyer says that the state has been understanding about the size of Lake City's budget and even supplied grants for the proposed upgrades. If the bank filtration doesn't pass muster, though, they'll have to spend millions of dollars to overhaul their water system. She's hoping it won't come to that. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The town of Telluride has cut back its proposed panhandling ordinance after the American Civil Liberties Union weighed in under the threat of legal action. Mayor Stu Frazier says that the ordinance was cut back to the 4 points that the ACLU did not have issues with.
We just looked at it and said, we can live with the four that are considered to be in support of the Constitution, but dealing with the aggressive aspect of panhandling. And so we did a second reading and modified the ordinance so that we'll be doing a third reading at our next meeting, which is on April 21st.
Those 4 points were the nature of panhandling, making aggressive and threatening behavior illegal. The issues that were dropped concerned where and when people could ask for money. Governor John Hickenlooper signed several bills into law last week. The laws tweaked things ranging from budgetary issues to license plates to highway repair to adoption records. One law sets a few basic rules in place for powdered alcohol and clarifies how much it will be taxed. It's been just over 3 months since Coloradans got a first look at the state's water plan. The draft that was submitted to Governor John Hickenlooper came after more than 800 public meetings were held across the state. But despite an extensive education and outreach campaign, just how involved is the general public in planning Colorado's water future? As part of Connecting the Drops, our statewide series on water issues, Maeve Conran reports.
In his 2015 State of the State address, Governor John Hickenlooper lauded the process that brought people from around Colorado together to create the state's water plan.
After the largest civic engagement process in the history of Colorado, the Colorado Water Conservation Board at long last achieved what many believed was impossible. It brought together the disparate stakeholders from around the state and drafted Colorado's first ever statewide water plan.
Kate McIntyre is in charge of public engagement and outreach for the Colorado Water Conservation Board. She says they've mostly relied on volunteers in a process that goes back 10 years when the Public Education, Participation and Outreach Group was established before the water plan was conceived. Later, McIntyre says they engaged the nine basin roundtables to help.
This is a really grassroots process. And so, you know, we never intended to or didn't have, you know, millions of dollars to throw into reaching everyone across the state in terms of a more traditional advertising campaign. So spreading the word grassroots isn't something that happens overnight.
The Water Board received more than 15,000 comments directly and through the nine basin roundtables when creating the draft plan. State Senator Ellen Roberts, a Republican from Durango, says that's not enough. She still thinks there's a lack of awareness amongst the general public.
I think that's the challenge that we saw here at the legislature, that the governor and the executive branch of the Colorado government has done a lot of outreach, but it's a topic that most people, all they really care about is when they get up in the morning, does water come out of the shower? Can they make their cup of coffee or cup of tea?
Last year, the senator co-sponsored a successful bill that called for more involvement by the legislature in water planning. That led to a series of public meetings in all the major river basins of Colorado.
What we were trying to do with Senate Bill 115 last year was to go out to the more general public, the kind of people who show up at our town hall meetings who maybe have no idea about Colorado water law or how complicated it is. They're not following like the people on the Basin Roundtable.
Folks may not know as much that there's an actual state water plan going on, but folks are very aware of water issues that we're facing.
That's Teresa Connolly, a water advocate with Conservation Colorado. She says she's heartened by what she sees as a growing awareness in water issues in the state, even if there's a lack of awareness about an actual water plan. But Connolly, like Senator Roberts, says the public outreach effort needs to be more inclusive. She cites the fact that many of the meetings were in the middle of the workday, which made it difficult for some to attend. She says people may not have time to attend a meeting, but maybe they've sent an email or a postcard, and those voices should also be heard.
And I think sometimes those small actions are sort of disregarded as a form letter or something that isn't truly meaningful. And I think that that's absolutely not true.
McIntyre says the Colorado Water Conservation Board has received over 2,000 comments in the first few months since the draft was submitted, and adds all input received through May 1st will be considered in the second draft. She says that the CWCB is responding to all comments received, and those responses are available for public review.
And all of those responses are cataloged and available for review by anyone on our website.
After the second draft is released in July, there will be another comment period that ends in mid-September. More public meetings in each of the river basins are also planned for this summer. The final plan will be submitted to the governor in December. For Connecting the Drops, I'm Maeve Conran.
Connecting the Drops is a year-long collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio Stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org.
And finally, although the police investigation into the deaths of two men in a storage unit fire continues, Grand Junction City Attorney says that the owner of the facility did not know that the two men were living there. Thomas Smith and Tom Lintz both died in the fire last February. Their deaths were ruled accidental. According to the Daily Sentinel, they were not renting the unit in which they died. Stay tuned for the Monday Morning Music Mix. Thank you for your support of KBNF News. I'm Patricia Naft.